The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. The conversation continues with James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Good morning. It is Thursday, the 23rd of March, 2023, and a very, very warm welcome again to the Freeman Report with me, James Freeman. So, how are you today? Are you looking forward to the weekend? Because I certainly am. It's been a long week, although, as always, the time just seems to fly by and another weekend approaches. Now, those of you who follow me on Twitter will have noticed that I published a letter template for people to use to email their MP to demand that the government responds to Andrew Bridgen MP's speech in the House of Commons last Friday. Now, if you don't follow me on Twitter, why the hell not? Get over there now and search for James Freeman and give me a follow and say hello, because I will say hello back. Now, the email I've written demands that MPs put pressure on the government to respond to Anne Bridgen's speech, and I have both camps covered. And that is the clever thing about this letter, because basically it says that the government has a responsibility to act in one of two ways. Either it refutes the data presented by Bridgen and reprimands him for spreading misinformation, or it acts on the data and withdraws the COVID-19 vaccine and booster program. A cunning plan, as Baldrick would say from Blackadder. So if your MP thinks it's misinformation, they have an incentive to pressure the government. And if your MP thinks Bridgen has a point, but maybe is too fearful to speak up, then they can still pressure the government using the argument set out in the letter, because they don't need to say which side of the argument they sit on. You see, the Nolan principles of public life, which apply to all of those who hold national or local public office, are incorporated into the code of conduct that all MPs must follow, and are based upon the idea that in order to effectively fill its roles of scrutinising the work of government, such as passing legislation and facilitating debate, the House of Commons needs to work with accurate information and have the confidence that everything said in the House is accurate. And what the letter says is that by ignoring Bridgen, the government is failing to protect the public in one of two ways. Either from an MP of the House spreading misinformation, or the harm done by the vaccines. So, if you live in the UK, please, please, please support me on this. It will only take 10 minutes of your time, because I've done all the hard work for you already by writing the letter. Now, I've spoken to Andrew Bridgen, he's seen the letter and he approves of what I'm doing. Now, to find the letter template, you can either head over to my Twitter account, just search for James Freeman, and you'll see the links posted at the top of my news feed. Alternatively, you can head over straight to my Patreon page, where I've published the letter template. Just go to patreon.com/ James Freeman. That's patreon.com/James Freeman. Now, make sure you fill in the parts of the letter like your name and address, as your MP is obliged to respond if you live in their constituency. So please, straight after today's show, take 10 minutes to do this, because if all of us do it, it will have an impact. You see, I know this, and Andrew knows this, that more MPs are supportive of Andrew's message than many people realise. It's just that they're too fearful of sticking their heads above the parapet. And what this letter does is it gives them an opportunity to be able to pressure the government to respond without saying which side of the camp they sit on. Right, now, I talk about the World Council for Health a lot on this show. It is an organisation that I truly love, because as well as pushing back against the globalist agenda, it is focused on creating alternatives to their dystopia. And their mantra is a better way. And they are doing this in many ways. Firstly, the World Council for Health is creating an alternative decentralized structure to the World Health Organization. Dr. Tess Lawrie recently announced the first National Council for Health in the Philippines. And by the end of this year, I anticipate they will have national councils in the double digits. Now, the difference between the World Health Organization and the World Council for Health is that the latter does not take funding from questionable sources and also recognizes that we, the people, are sovereign. Each national council for health is funded by the people and run for the people. Each council operates separately, and the World Council for Health will never, ever centralize control. Each council is a bottom-up organization designed to counter the centralized top-down model used by the World Health Organization. Now, the World Council for Health is also holding another Better Way conference this year in Bath from the 2nd to the 4th of June. Neil Oliver will be hosting the event, which will have in-person speakers from all over the world. A few of the speakers announced so far include Dr. Pierre Corey, Dr. Paul Marrick, the lovely Dr. Tina Pierce, who's been on the Freeman Report a couple of times, Matthias Desmet, Vandana Shiva, James Corbett, Dan Aston Gregory, Richard Vobes, and Veronica Kurilenko. In total, there will be 50 speakers, and many big names will be announced in the coming weeks. If you want to find out more about the conference, then please head over to worldcouncilforhealth.org and look under the newsroom. Now, there are a limited number of tickets left to attend in person, but there are an infinite number of passes to watch the conference from the comfort of your own home. And if you're wondering why they are charging for the online passes, I mean, they're not expensive. It's about 30 quid, somewhere around there. Then please revert back to what I've just talked about and the work that they are doing to create an alternative to the WHO. If we want to support the creation of an alternative to this horrible organization, then we all need to support the work financially. Now, I will be at the conference to interview all of the big names, which I'm hoping we will be able to play on the Freeman Report. Right, so next up, I want to talk about Source, which is a great initiative from the World Council for Health. So I've got a panel of three guests from the WCH on next. I will have Nick, who is General Manager at the World Council for Health, who leads a lot of the development work on Source. And Nick will be joined by Anne Gwinnett, who is a Source Ambassador from Oxford, who has been heavily involved in pushing back against low traffic neighbourhoods. And she's had a lot of success with it as well. We'll also have Peter Coniglio, who is a Source Ambassador from the Bristol area, who's been involved in the setup of Freedom Cells in Bristol and a new project in Bath, which is a health hub for integrative medicine. Now, if like me, you think TNT Radio is great, then please follow us on social media. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Gab, and Getter, and leave a positive review or comment. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on TNT Radio. My name is James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report on TNT Radio.
In-depth and under discussion.
The government works for us, not the other way around.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good morning, Darren.
James, how are you, mate?
I'm all right. I can't believe these weeks are just flying by, aren't they? Right, now, you've got a story for our favourite tech entrepreneur, Billy Boy Gates, I think, haven't you?
Yeah, this has been in the news sort of everywhere over the last 24 hours. Microsoft co-founder. This is not the first time I've spoken about Billy Boy Gates this week. It's the second time that me and you have had the displeasure of bringing up his name. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates says the development of artificial intelligence is the most important technological advance in decades. Actually, it will be, if it was in the right hands, the most important technological advance of all time. It will change the way people work, learn, travel, get healthcare, and communicate with each other, he said. Bill Gates is quite heavily invested. In fact, he put a multi-billion dollar investment from Microsoft into OpenAI, which developed the chatbot, ChatGPT, which is an amazing thing, apart from it's really woke. So apart from it's really woke, it's amazing. But there is actually a Google rival called Bard, which is also supposed to be at the next level again in terms of artificial intelligence. A program editor asked, this is Bard, if it was good running order for her new show. Start with the biggest story of the day, Bard suggested, and end with musician or comedian. It also did a decent, if generic, job of a poem about trees and blossom. I wonder if they mentioned Plymouth. It was probably before they decided to cut all the trees down in Plymouth. Mr. Gates said he had challenged the OpenAI team if it could train an AI that could pass an advanced placement biology exam, roughly an equivalent to a UK A level, with the strict rule that the AI could not be specifically trained to answer biology questions. A few months later, they revealed the results, and this AI got a near-perfect score, missing out only one mark out of 50. After the exam, Mr. Gates also asked the AI to write a response to a father with a sick child. It wrote a thoughtful answer that was probably better than most of us in the room would have given, said Mr. Gates. Bill Gates. AI-driven improvements will be especially important for poor countries where the vast majority of under five deaths happen. He also wrote, many people in these countries never get to see a doctor, and AIs will help health workers become much more productive. Some examples of this gave, including completing repetitive tasks, insurance claims, paperwork, note-taking. In fact, in my notes to you yesterday, James, I asked one question. Can you name a job that this type of AI will forget about sort of robotics and, you know, industrialized factories and stuff, because that work has already gone to the robots. Name a sort of white-collar worker job that this type of AI couldn't replace and do much better and instantly than a human could do. Name one job, because I literally can't think of any.
Well, I don't know how they categorize blue and white collar, but plumber, electrician, handyman, it's not going to replace those. Yeah,
that's
okay. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. It is going to have a devastating impact. And the thing is, with this, it seems to be accelerating in terms of its ability, and its power seems to be accelerating, well, exponentially. And I think that this is really going to, the next three years, this is going to have a massive, massive impact. How do I feel about it? Well, I don't know. I mean, I obviously the elite see this coming, which is why they want to bring in all of this digital prison for us, because I think they realize that the majority of jobs that exist today are not going to exist tomorrow. And they see that as an opportunity. Because, you know, at the moment, I can't see what is going to replace, you know, I mean, yeah, I can't see what the replacement is going to be for people. So they basically want to put us in a digital prison. How do I feel about the technology? Well, I'm not a technophobe, but the thing is, you know, a lot of the things that we do in life, you know, they're based around our humanity, the decisions that we make. I mean, look what smartphones have done to people. They've turned a lot of people into idiots, just walking around, looking at their phone. People can't think for themselves these days. We've seen that over the last 3 years, the fact that critical reasoning and thought seems to be totally missing from the majority of the population. I do worry that these technologies are going to accelerate that trend as well. And we're going to have a load of people that when it comes to making decisions for themselves, even the smallest things in daily life, they're going to jump on their phone and ask Chat GPT or whichever version of it is, what should I do? What should I do? Yeah. Well, you should stay in your home because there's a climate emergency outside. Yeah. That's what it'll tell you back. So, yeah, it's a brave new world, I think, is the saying it's going to be over the next 3 years.
That's exactly what is happening. And, you know, I have actually given some thought about this. All I see is the outcome from technologies like ChatGPT and this Bard that I've mentioned. And there are others. And they're even now giving them names like James and Darren, you know. What worries me is that humans are now going to become obsolete. The useless eaters are going to gradually, we're going to need less of them because we don't need doctors, solicitors, lawyers, or people to write or think, because we have AI that not only can do it instantly, but actually, as long as the information behind it is good and Google's being honest with the information it's feeding into the system, we'll do it infinitely better than any human will ever be able to do it. And therefore, how are we even needed anymore? Makes you wonder why Bill Gates is investing money in this and at the same time sticking needles in everyone's arms. But that's because I'm a conspiracy theorist, James.
Yeah, I'm just Googling Pod Bay Doors. What was that that film again? And what was the AI called there? Do you remember the one? Science fiction. Ooh.
Lots. Which one?
Hal.
Oh, the one.
Hal.
Hal from 2000 Space Odyssey.
Yeah, that's it. The Pod Bay Doors.
I can't do that, Dave. I can't do that, Dave.
I know. What a great film.
Sure, he didn't have a Jabba accent.
You know, this is what it's going to be like, isn't it? You know, are you sure you want to go out in your car? Your car will start talking to you. And are you sure you need to make this journey, Dave?
Yeah. Do you really want to eat that steak? Do you really want to buy that steak and eat it?
Yeah. I really don't want my life run by AI. I'm sure that at some point I will probably use the technology for something, but it will be limited. It certainly won't be replacing the decisions that I make in my life and the thinking that I do for myself. Right. Okay. Thank you very much, Darren. We'll see you again tomorrow for another big story. Right. Speak don't go tomorrow, anywhere then. Because after the break, I've got a panel of three guests from the World Council for Health, and we're going to talk all about the great initiative that is Source. My name is James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report on TNT Radio.
The United States no longer respected around the globe. Is it any wonder why?
Poem one today says, "And always one moon like a silent drum tapping every rooftop and every window on every kin of every county." Countries. Let me start this over again.
The fight to save America on the next Chris Salcedo Show on TNT Radio.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization. The left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
What's more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left were trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts or be their next door neighbors or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at SalemNow.com.
More than half of the country disapproves of Biden's job performance.
What am I doing here?
This is not what the founding fathers had in mind.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right. Now, I've been super excited about this conversation for a number of weeks now, because as I've already said, I love the World Council for Health, but I also think Source is such a fantastic initiative. So I've got three brilliant guests next from the World Council for Health. So hello, Peter, Anne and Nick.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, James.
Hi.
Hi. Right. Okay. Well, I wonder, first of all, because I know that as well as doing work for the World Council for Health, you do a lot of other things. So I wonder if you could all just give a quick introduction to yourself and give a short kind of a bit of background in terms of the kind of things that you do. So Nick first.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Nick Robinson. I'm General Manager at the World Council for Health. Really, I get involved in a bit of everything. At the moment, my big push is the Better Way Conference. So I'm conference director. So I'm looking to bring in all our fantastic guests and speakers for that at the moment. But I also get involved in our Source project, events, and lots of other stuff. I work across everything at World Council for Health, essentially.
Yeah, I bet you're busy at the moment with that conference, because I remember last year, I mean, absolutely amazing conference, but it's a hell of a lot of work, isn't it, Nick?
It
right,
really
Peter,
is.
I wonder if you could, it certainly is, yeah. Peter.
Hi, James. Yeah, so I'm one of the Source ambassadors. I'm relatively new onto the team. My background is more health related, and I'm kind of settling in and understanding a little bit more what the WCH does. I'm particularly interested in setting up independent health providers, so health hubs, which I think is to give people more health sovereignty and feel that they can make better decisions on their health.
Yeah, and Peter, you've been setting up Freedom Cells as well, I believe, in Bristol, haven't you? Just explain very, very quickly what a Freedom Cell is.
So the Freedom Cell concept is not a new one. It came over from the States, essentially, but it's had some big influences in terms of individuals working together as a small collective, originally influenced by somebody called Garcia. So Garcia was talking about octologs, groups of eight people, and eight being that creative number, where each member within that group can, you know, design something that is particularly relevant for them. So we started that up, and it grew and grew and grew. And at the last count, it's about 300 people in Bristol working on various projects, working within their own octologs, and as a collective on bigger projects. It's been fantastic to watch and really inspiring, because people have found solutions to lots of different issues in their own way, and they've shared that, and other people have copied and lent a hand. It's been inspiring. It just goes to show kind of what can be done from very small acorns, so to speak.
That sounds fantastic. And 300 people all working on initiative. That's a lot of people that can do a lot of great things. Anne.
Yeah.
Hi there. Well, I've been a Source ambassador for a few months now, but even before that, I was getting very involved in fighting back a little against some of the things that are happening that are taking away our freedoms, or certainly threatening our freedoms. So I'm very heavily involved in projects which are kicking back against the low traffic neighbourhoods, which are a real issue here in Oxford. And more recently, I've got very engaged since November in the debate about the solar farm that's proposed in Oxfordshire, which, if it goes ahead, will take away nearly 3,500 acres of farmland. So that is absolutely huge. It will be the largest in Europe if it goes ahead. So there are all sorts of pros and cons around that. But my main emphasis on all of these things is really getting people to be more aware of what's going on, because I think that's one of our biggest issues. And also trying to encourage people not to be complacent or to feel that there's nothing they can do, because there is. And just recently in Oxford, we had some local elections, and a group of us supported an independent candidate who was not in favour of things like the LTNs and so on. And we got very close. He came a close second. And I think with a bit more of a push across the country, we could get some new councillors in place and perhaps start turning things around from the inside.
Fantastic. That sounds excellent. Right, Nick, we've got a couple of minutes before the news headlines. So I wonder if you could, before we go into the detail of what source is, just kind of explain what's the thinking behind it and what is its overarching purpose.
Yeah, sure, James. So really, at the World Council for Health, we're all about taking back your own health and your sovereignty. And we're really about personal health freedoms. And you might ask, well, how do I do that? How do I become my own council for health? And really, it's through knowledge. So I don't think it's a coincidence that we're at the end of the age of Pisces, which was the age of believing. And now we're in the beginning of the age of the Aquarius, which is the age of knowing. So, and really, the source website is all about knowing, taking back the information that's been hidden from us. So the source portal, it's an online portal which is focused on sovereign empowerment for individuals, but also within their communities. And I'll just give you a bit of a rundown on what we've got on the website, because there's an absolute ton of resources on there. So we're really proud of our map of holistic practitioners. So there's a range of modalities on there. You can learn about those modalities. If you're unfamiliar, we have webinars. So we're just rolling out our webinars program now. So if you're interested in homeopathy, but you might not know that much about it, or you're not really quite sure about acupuncture and find out whether that's for you, we're starting to roll out these courses now so that people can be informed and understand what they can do for their own health themselves. We've also got a membership platform where you can find your tribe. We have a great little shop, which we're adding to daily. And we have a community preparedness library, which is really, so in the middle of sort of the back end of last year, we realized that people really wanted prepping materials because really, you know, we don't know what's around the corner. It's quite an uncertain time at the moment. So we've got information on food security, water security, decentralized finance, electrosmog, detoxing. There's a whole load, as you'd imagine, of health information on there as well, which is broken down by genre. So we're really, really proud of this website. We just want people to start using it and just spread the word that it's out there.
Yeah, no, it is fantastic. And I'm definitely... I think if I lived in the States and I in the wilderness, I'd definitely be a full-time prepper. But I've done a bit of prepping over the last year, and I've got things like I've got a gas-powered generator in my garage just in case the power goes out. And I've even got a go bag, which I remember feeling a little bit bonkers actually buying the stuff for it and packing it. But I thought, what the hell? Because a lot of people that I've spoken to have done the same thing. You know, it's all about preparing for things that you don't know is coming down the road. And of course, the decentralized finance thing, definitely I'd encourage people to get involved in. Right, now we're going to take a quick break for the news headlines now, and when we come back, we can talk a little bit more detail about what sources and some of the actual businesses and resources on there. So don't go anywhere. Stick with me, James Freeman, on the Freeman Report on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio News.
I've got news for you, baby. I've got news for you, baby.
News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Britain has been accused of escalating the war in Ukraine after London pledged to start arming the country with ammunition containing depleted uranium. The journalist who exposed Washington's role in the attack on Europe's Nord Stream pipelines has accused Germany of helping America bury the truth, and New York City prosecutors have postponed a scheduled grand jury session, delaying a decision on whether to charge former President Donald Trump over hush money payments made to a porn star 7 years ago.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Right, Nick, I wonder if you'd then tell us a little bit in a bit more detail the kind of resources that are on there. One of the things that I absolutely love is the searchable database. So you can search across the UK to find farms near you, which are kind of organic, and they deliver a lot of them to your door, which I just think is absolutely fantastic. But tell us a little bit about some of the other resources that people can find on there.
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously a map like that is only as good as the people who use it. So we really, and we are in beta testing, so we're just starting to roll out the map now. We're really grateful for anyone who can send in their resources in their local community, but we've already got quite a lot of listings. So we've got Stand in the Parks, we've got Local Freedom Cells, we've got Awake Businesses, and we've also got campaign management. So if you're interested in getting involved in your local community campaign, like Peter and Anne have been mentioning, for example, Action Against 5G is a really big one. You can see what campaigns are in your local community, and you can get involved at that level. And you can really drill down as low as possible. You know, we've got a lot based in the Southwest, but we're also pushing it right across the UK. And actually, we've got grand plans for the WCH decentralisation project, because we're launching World Council for Health in the Philippines, in Ireland, in Finland, Malaysia, New Zealand, South Africa. So we really, you know, we don't want to be just about World Council for Health based in the UK. You know, we know that it's within our communities where we make the difference. And so that's why we're rolling out our decentralization project right across the world. And Source is going to be part of that.
Some of the ideas that the World Council for Health are coming up with are just mind-bogglingly big in terms of ambition. I mean, just the World Council for Health itself, and the fact that it's now creating national councils. The Philippines obviously already been announced, and you know, I anticipate or expect they'll be in the double digits by the end of this year. I mean, it's just amazing, really. I think what they're doing, isn't it?
It is, and the growth is really rapid. We are insanely ambitious. But I think, you know, you talked before about what it's like to work in the office when we were chatting offline, and actually it's really incredible. It's got its own energy, which we're all harnessing, and we're really working towards the same goal. But, you know, it's being replicated all across the globe. You know, people want a parallel health system. They recognize that what we have now is failing us, and they're not just going to sit around and wait for someone else to do it. You know, we realize that we have to grasp this now ourselves and step forward and not wait for someone else to do it.
Yeah. And I think obviously there's a lot of people waking up and a lot of people that have already woken up who are now very worried about the World Health Organization and what it's up to. And a lot of people now are starting to want to push back against that. And they should be doing that. You know, we should be pushing back and trying to wake up our elected officials and all of that. But the reality is that at some point we're going to need an alternative. We do need an alternative. Pushing back is great, but we need things that create an alternative. And obviously that is what the World Council of Health is all about, with its better way. Anne, tell us, so you're a Source ambassador. Tell us a little bit about, I understand this is all quite new and everything's sort of being, sort of only really sort of emerged over the last year. But tell us the kind of work that you're doing and what you have planned.
Okay. Well, being a Source ambassador, apart from helping roll out what the World Council for Health is doing through Source, is an absolutely fantastic resource for me, because it connects me with a really effective network across the country. And we're all working on a range of issues around this. It's not, as we've already said, it's not all about health. And so through being a Source ambassador, I've made connections with other people who are involved with things like looking at solar and where that's going to have an impact and what that impact might be. And it's really useful to be able to make those connections. So I think Source is almost more than it looks like on the surface, because it also supports an awful lot of other things that are going on. I've been very busy in Oxford around the low traffic neighbourhoods, that, as I'm sure people will be aware, because it's happening in lots of places, not just Oxford, is having a huge impact. And I think Oxford seems to be rather at the vanguard. So people are watching what happens here. So it's quite important that we do push back. So in terms of people's daily lives, the fact that they've introduced these LTNs, rather than reducing congestion and pollution, has actually been shown to have increased pollution and congestion on many roads in the city. So there are a few roads that are very quiet, but generally the impact on people is they're suffering more congestion and more pollution. And for people living in those areas, it's affecting them in all sorts of ways. So for instance, they're struggling to get tradesmen to come and do jobs for them because the tradesmen can't easily get there. Deliveries, they have the same sort of issue. If they've got children and they used to take their children to after school activities, they're not able to get them there now as easily because they haven't got the time because they get stuck in traffic and they can't get there as they needed to. There's a lady I heard of just a couple of days ago who's a music teacher in the city centre, and she has lost lots of pupils over recent weeks because they simply cannot get there. And so it's affecting people's daily lives. And then you've got people with caring responsibilities, of course, who used to nip to see mom, you know, every day or maybe two or three times a day. That's getting more difficult. You've got elderly people or people who don't have access to their own transport or can't easily go on public transport, who use taxis regularly to get to medical appointments. The cost of a taxi journey has gone up phenomenally. I heard of someone the other day who used to spend about £10 going to their appointments, and now it's nearer 40. And that's because of the longer journeys and longer journey times. There are businesses all over the place closing because they're not getting the same level of custom that they used to. So particularly around the Cowley Road area, there are several businesses have closed and more are saying that they're going to. We've had instances of emergency services struggling to get through because of the barriers in place. And what's a real worry is that all of this is obvious, but the councils don't seem to be listening to what the people are saying. And in fact, even before they introduced the LTNs, they weren't listening because there was a survey, and 73% of people had concerns about the LTNs or objected to them, and yet they went ahead and did it anyway. They've done a similar thing with the proposals which they're going ahead with. They're not going to be implemented quite yet, but they're putting in some traffic filters. And a similar thing has happened in the consultation. People weren't keen on the idea. At their extraordinary meeting of the cabinet to discuss it, there was an unprecedented number of people wanted to speak. So I think around 50 people spoke, the vast majority speaking passionately against these measures. And yet the cabinet then went ahead and voted to go ahead anyway. So I think there's a real issue with a lack of democracy, really, because it feels as if the people don't have a say anymore, hence my reference earlier to trying to get some independent candidates to go forward that can maybe influence things in a more positive direction. But that really is a major concern. But it's the impact on people's daily lives. And in effect, people are struggling to live their life in the way that they want and need to live it. And it's all very well for the people who are keen on bikes and walking to say, well, you know, you could go to the music lesson on your bike. If you're learning to play the cello, that's a bit tricky. There's a certain lack of realism sometimes.
There certainly is. Now, if you're listening to this and you're really getting hot under the collar of listening to what's going on, why not put yourself forward as an independent candidate? You know, because this is all coming into the public sort of knowledge now. People are learning about this stuff. And I think we're going to see a lot more independent councillors. And obviously, we've got elections coming up soon. Now, an interesting thing, like related to what you're saying there, is in London, obviously, they've got the ultra low emissions zone expansion going ahead this year. Now, it's come out recently that they actually bought all the cameras for that before they held the consultation and went to the public vote. And the public have voted against it, and it seems they're still going to go ahead anyway. We've also got Bristol Airport. So in Bristol now, they've got the clean air zone. But what the council have, I think it's really devious what they've done. There's, if you come off the M4 and you go to the airport, there's one corner on that A road which they've put within the clean air zone, which means now if you go to the airport, you're not going into the centre. You now get clobbered in the clean air zone, charging zone. And I've just heard as well yesterday that they, the Welsh government is planning on charging people for using the M4, which I just find utterly bonkers, because they're only going to charge for a certain section. And what it will actually mean is people will go through Newport City and Cardiff and on the local roads there to get around it. And the other thing to acknowledge here is that it won't actually reduce any of the traffic, because people using that to get to Bristol and back to work, workmen and all the others, they still need to make these journeys. So this is just a money-making exercise. Right, we're going to take a quick break now. And when we come back, I want to hear from Peter about all of the great things that he's been doing around the Bristol Bath area. So stick with me, James Freeman, on TNT Radio.
Another member of the ruling class elite praises China, saying we should all be emulating China's climate and government policies.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
President Joe Biden's Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm has added her name to the list of people who praise China.
But I think China has done, has been very sensitive and has actually invested a lot in their solutions to achieve their goals. So we're hopeful that, you know, we can all learn from what China is doing.
Yes, the same China that's built building a coal plant a week, that's engaging in rare earth mining, all while doing it with the lowest human rights and environmental standards on the planet. Secretary Granholm adds her name to a list of people, including New York Times columnist, United Nations climate chief Justin Trudeau, the Apple CEO, all praising China's one-party rule and climate policies. No wonder the elites love COVID lockdowns so much. It allowed the once free West to emulate one-party authoritarian Chinese rule. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Children in poverty, each one unique, each one full of dreams. They're our hope, our future. They're the reason Children International exists. When the whole world changed, we developed new ways to reach children and families in poverty during these vulnerable times.
I'm learning every day.
I'm healthy and strong.
To learn more, go to children.org/help today.
The Freeman Report and James Freeman on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right, now I'm looking at the live chat here, and I can see Jim is saying that in Newcastle and Gateshead, they have a clean air zone there where lorries, buses and coaches that don't comply are faced with a £50 toll each day, and vans and taxis are charged £12.50. Wow, that is extortionate, and clearly, you know, that's going to push prices up and mean that people cannot use alternative transport if they don't want to own a car like taxis. Right, okay, let's get back to source. So Peter, I wonder if you could tell me about the health hub in Bath.
Well, again, it's at its inception. So what we're initially really looking to do is align ourselves with as many practitioners who believe in health sovereignty, and collating a wider list of, as we can. Our initial point of attack is just to offer essentially a consultancy, a tele-consultancy approach, where people can ring in and get some guidance. We hope to morph that into a physical building at some point, maybe that's off, opened on a part-time basis, and eventually grow that to having a permanent structure. So, in my in My best hopes are that we have an alternative GP practice that we can then align and give some support, and we can refer on to other practitioners. There, you know, the phrase that the World Council of Health use, that there is a better way, is absolutely spot on. There is a better way. And the one thing about humanity is our ability to create. We are creative beings, and we are, but in a state of fear, then that creativity, that we cannot harness that. And what we have to do is recognize that we are creative beings, and we can find a way. And what I've learned over the last few years, more than anything, is that solutions come from the oddest places. So, so we often look at a problem-focused approach. And again, if we look at problems, the problem is more of a linear, it's more a mathematical, logical way. But solutions come from the from many different ways. And I think that if we develop a strategy where we help people become more creative in their thinking, then I think we will find some unique approaches to actually have a better way of doing things.
Yeah, and that's fantastic, because I think it's clear there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people all up and down the UK, maybe even millions now, that I think have really lost all trust with the established medical establishment. I certainly have. I question everything now, and I don't want to go to the doctor, and if I can help it, because I just don't trust that what they will tell me will be for the benefit of my health. I think people's worries these days are that you go to the doctor these days and you just get told the government line, and there's good evidence to support that. So this is a fantastic initiative, and again, really, really ambitious what you guys are doing there. Nick, tell us about some of the, because you talked about some of the sort of preppers, sort of resources and that kind of thing. What kind of educational material could you find on there? Say, for example, if I want to become self-sustainable myself.
Yeah, well, we've got all sorts on there. So we've got, for example, where to find your local spring. So if what happens if you want to get the best quality water available in your local area? You know, there's a map on there that will show you wonderful fresh spring water in your local area. There's all sorts of information on there, as you'd imagine, about how to keep yourself healthy. We've got our spike protein detox guide, which is for post vaccine syndrome and COVID, and that's actually been downloaded more than a million times already online. And we've also got our at-home treatment for a protocol for COVID. There's all sorts of information on there. We've got, you know, in adrenal health, we've got nervous system health, immune support, we've got nutritional health, and it's all simple to read to the layperson. So you can just really upskill yourself and just understand a bit more about, you know, our own bodies. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it, that we spend 13 years at school and at the end we don't really understand nutrition, the microbiome, and how to keep our minds and bodies healthy. I don't know what's gone wrong there, but we don't want to start talking about education. That's a whole other topic.
It certainly is. Well, I think more as time goes on, I think it's not that there's missing components of education. It's just actually we've been miseducated, particularly on things like diet and things like that. What we're told is unhealthy and what we're told is healthy is all topsy-turvy, absolutely topsy-turvy. What else have you got on there, Nick?
So one thing I haven't talked about is our Better Way principles. When we ask people to sign up to the membership platform, which is completely optional, they will just get the full listing of everything on there if they do. We would ask them to tick a box that just shows that they adhere to our Better Way principles. And these were born out of the Better Way conference last year. So the seven principles of the Better Way are that we act in honor and we do no harm. We're free beings with free will,
And that really speaks to the fact that we take responsibility for our own health and we make our own choices based on informed consent, and that we're part of nature. So we recognise that both, you know, humans and the planet are interdependent. Our well-being, you know, we need to nurture both in equal measure. The fourth one is that spirituality is integral to our well-being. So, you know, we understand that we are spiritual beings and we thrive when life has conscious meaning. And we thrive together. You know, we need our communities. Community is at the core of our values, and every person has value. We need to be collaborative. And number six is that we value different perspectives. So we don't always get on, you know, and that's fine. We have different opinions. Science isn't settled, you know, questioning the science is how you do the science. And number seven is we're respectful of technology. So we recognize that, you know, in the next 20, 30 years, there's going to be amazing advances in technology. But we are respectful of that. And we absolutely do not, we have no interest in the whole transhumanism agenda. That is absolutely not part of our future. And the last comment really is that, you know, we don't tolerate the violations of people's inalienable rights and freedoms. And we will never put profit and power or influence before the well-being of humans or the planet.
Fantastic. And like you said, this came out of the conference, the Better Way conference last year, didn't it, from all of the speakers and experts. And I think those, yeah, the principles are absolutely fantastic. Anne, obviously, so you've been or you are a source ambassador. What is the response been like from all the people that you've spoken to about it?
Well, I think people are very glad to know that there is a place that they can go to get information on all sorts of things to support them in being more independent and giving them information that helps them realise the reality of having a choice and not just having to accept what they're being told by, if you like, the mainstream, and gives them useful information to enable them to live and act differently. Sometimes it can feel a bit like living in two parallel universes, but I think one of the challenges these days is to learn to straddle that, because we are living in the world we're living in, but equally we do need, as you said earlier, to be setting up different ways of doing things. And so that these things are happening in parallel, and it's very important that they do. But also part of that responsibility for us, I think, particularly as a source ambassador, is to keep that connection with the wider world and help more people to start identifying where things aren't adding up. And if they're starting to question, giving them somewhere to go where they can find information that will help them. Because for some people, the realization of just how different some of the reality is to what they thought it was can be a really big challenge. And I think one of the greatest things that we can do is to support people through that journey.
Fantastic. And unfortunately, we are running out of time. We've only got about 3 minutes. And I am keen, Nick, for you to talk about who's doing all of this, because this is a hugely ambitious project, sources. So, I mean, who is giving you the information? Because I'm sure it's not you sat behind the computer finding where all the springs are in the UK and where all the farms are. So who helps you? And if people want to get involved, how do they get involved?
Yeah, sure. So we're always, we're really open to volunteers. We would love more source ambassadors. So if you were to go on the source website, so it's source.worldcouncilforhealth.org. If you go onto that website, you can just find the volunteer section, fill out the form. If anyone wants to be a source ambassador, we're looking also for different countries. So if you're based in any other countries as well, we can connect you with your local World Council for Health, or start it if it hasn't been set up already. Just make connections. We spent a lot of time researching all of this information, as you can imagine. So there's currently more than 300 resources on there, but obviously there's more that we can put on. We're always adding every day. We've got a significant amount of resource on health, But in some of the other areas, we're really looking for the audience's suggestions. So anything from finance, we would love more information on finance, decentralized finance, and particularly people to follow. So, you know, if you know a really good financial analyst that makes it easy for the layperson to understand, you know, that's exactly the sort of person that we'd like to point to so that, you know, other people can find them. Equally for prepping resources, how to build your own chicken coop. There's a whole world of information out there that will be useful for everyone.
Fantastic. And quickly, can you say where people go to put forward their services and their help? Where do they actually go?
Yeah, so it's all on the Source website. There's feedback forms there. So if you go on to, it's called Find a Network. So it's source.worldcouncilforhealth.org. If you click on Find a Network, you can add your resource to the listing.
Fantastic. Well, listen, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Peter, Anne and Nick, for joining me on the show today. Please, if you're listening, do go over to the Source website. It's a fantastic resource and it's building every single day. So make sure you do that. Right. We have run out of time, sadly, but stick with us on TNT Radio for some more great shows today.